Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us this evening on our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Dave Minuk, I am your host, Drew Mindell. David, it was 12 and a half hours ago that our day began with the Illegal Curve hockey show, talking about this Winnipeg Jets Edmonton Oilers rematch. We thought that it would be a more entertaining game than what we saw on Thursday night. And I think it was a more entertaining game. But for the Winnipeg Jets, certainly the latter half of that game, I will say, was one that was controlled by the Edmonton Oilers. And despite the Jets at one point in time having a 2-goal lead, they end up dropping a 4-2 decision to the Edmonton Oilers team that all of a sudden the Jets have made to look like the 95-96 New Jersey Devils.
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure our day started 14 and a half hours ago, Drew.
I think What did I say? Did I say 12 and a half hours. And then 14 and a half.
I'm pretty sure we were coming to the close of the first show that we did today at that time. But no, I mean, look, you're in a position where you're up 2-0 and you're feeling good about your game. And while the Oilers probably had some quality chances, Connor Hellebuyck made the saves. And then the Oilers, you know, the goals don't go in for the Winnipeg Jets. They aren't able to keep the Oilers off the scoreboard. Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid again. And to me, it's opportunity, right? If Dylan DeMello buries that opportunity, if Kyle Connor hears Nikolaj Ehlers call for that puck, when Mike Smith gave it away behind the Oilers net, if he puts it to Ehlers, that's in the net, no question. I mean, Smith, for all however good he is not stopping Nikolaj Ehlers from that close. So, I mean, there's opportunity for the Jets to have extended their lead, and they weren't able to, and allowed a very talented, you know, offensive team in the Edmonton Oilers to get back into this game or to stay within the close proximity. And then inevitably they started to work it away and tied it up. And it kind of, you know, it's one of those games. I wasn't certain what the way it was going to roll in terms of, you know, whether the Jets could get back in it, but they just didn't feel like they were generating. It just didn't feel like it was going to be one of those things that the Jets could really get into it. So I don't know, like it never felt like they were close to tying it up once Edmonton took the lead.
You know, the Jets made the Oilers look like a defensive juggernaut. And, you know, time and time again in that third period, the Oilers' defensive strategy isn't revolutionary. It's basically five guys in the neutral zone. Stop, prevent the Jets from skating with any speed, you know, and the Jets continue to try and just weave their way through stick after stick after stick. It's not going to work. It's, you know, you have to adjust your strategy. And then by adjusting your strategy, you might have to go, you dump it in, you use your speed that way. That's how you use your speed through the neutral zone to retrieve the puck. It's not like the Oilers' defense is anything to write home about. It's not you go and make it difficult on them in their own zone, having to retrieve pucks. And the Jets didn't do that at all. And so, you know, especially after the 3-2 goal, you know, the Dreisaitl goal after the, you know, which started with a boneheaded decision by Dylan DeMello in the neutral zone. It's one thing to step up on an Oilers player at the blue line, at the offensive blue line, but to try and step up there in that instance, you know, at the red line, two games in a row now, we've seen the team try and do that, and it's led to a goal by the Edmonton Oilers. Last game, I think, if I recall correctly, it was Derek Forbort who tried to step up there. I mean, I like an aggressive defense, and I like them trying to generate something, but time and place, and that's not the time or the place from it. And you give up a 2-on-1 to McDavid and Dreisaitl. I mean, what's the one game plan you have before the game starts is don't give up a 2-on-1 to McDavid and Dreisaitl. There's some scouting report for you. There's, you know, some insight into how the Jets need to approach this game, and they give it up, and it ends up being the game-winning goal. The Jets had no pushback. They had no response after that 3-2 goal, and for the first time this season, they lose consecutive games in regulation.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Drew. I think that was, you know, like I suspect that was the writing on the wall in the Jets dressing room was do not give up a 2-on-1 to McDavid and Dreisaitl, and they made them pay. And, you know, the Jets couldn't, again, I thought it was one of those games where you usually you can get a sense with this team, right? Okay. These guys can, they've shown that resiliency. They've shown that ability to fight back in hockey games. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, like I said, having watched every single minute almost of every single game, I just didn't feel like in that third period this team was pushing back against the Oilers. And to your point, they just couldn't generate. And I, you know, it's interesting because it wasn't as bad, it wasn't as noticeable in the game on Thursday, but it just didn't have a crispiness. And you know, forget about silkiness, it wasn't crisp. And to me, that was one of the passes were behind guys. They weren't on the tape. Guys were like having, you know, you're not getting guys in stride. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, it's removing all momentum that your team is trying to generate the way it is, the way it's operating. So I don't know, like it just seemed like this team didn't have an answer and it didn't have, you know, and it's one thing we always talk about, right? That in-game adjustment. And to me, there wasn't one. And it's funny because Paul Maurice has usually been, you know, quick to line blend if he's not getting something going, and he wasn't, right? He didn't.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. That was one of the biggest focuses of our show this morning, was that idea of, you know, getting some guys in with other, you know, fellows and trying to mix things up and maybe see things look a little differently. And we just didn't see that. And it just didn't seem like these lines had the answers for the Jets.
Well, you're 100% right. And, you know, I thought Dave Tippett outcoached Paul Maurice tonight by a country mile. I don't know. To your point, there's no urgency from the Jets in the third period. They look like they're skating in quicksand. They can't, you know, string a couple passes together. But what do? It's just a constant line rotation. But none of them were doing anything. I mean, the best line for the Winnipeg Jets tonight, the best player for the Jets tonight, in my estimation, was Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, Nikolaj Ehlers was also noticeable, like he is each and every game. But Dubois, I thought, was the best Jets forward. And I just don't you know, Wheeler and Scheifele were, I mean, I'll be charitable when I say they struggled tonight. And they're just out there again and again and again and again, and they're not generating anything. There needs to be a sense of urgency, and there needs to be a sense of urgency, not because it's a must-win game, but just because you want to see some productivity from the team in that third period. You didn't see it from the skaters. I mean, I'm watching Andrew Kopp is addressing the media right now. Andrew Kopp was fine. He got the goal, obviously, you know, off the double deflection, but I thought the Jets, the quote unquote, the leaders of the Jets were not there tonight. And that includes Jets head coach Paul Maurice, who I thought had did not have a shining effort behind the bench for the Jets.
I just read one of the comments in the thing. Maurice saves his timeouts like they are air miles. That's a pretty good one.
I'll put it up on the screen there.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not the one I was laughing at.
There you go. Here it is. Roland. Apologies, Roland.
Yeah, come on. Give Roland his credit. That was a pretty good comment. No, I don't know that you can't lay it at his feet. I mean, you know, to the Roland's point, I mean, if you don't think that your team is generating, use the timeout. You're not carrying it over into the next game. Yeah. So get your team. It's interesting. It's one thing I've noticed about the Jets when I watch them, right? You know, during commercial timeouts, it's one thing folks don't necessarily see when they're not obviously in the arena, when obviously you can't be there. There doesn't seem to be a lot of chatter when they're on the bench during commercial timeouts, right? And it's one thing, like oftentimes you'll see coaches use that as an opportunity. Let's have a dialogue. Let's work on a play. Let's focus on something. And to me, what an opportunity to kind of give your team a reset, give your team an opportunity to settle down. Guys, we're only down a goal. Let's get them, you know, like let's game plan here. And again, it seems like missed opportunities. So, you know, again, I'm not a head coach of an NHL team, but I just think that it's that in-game adjustment that you're not seeing from Paul Maurice and his staff. And you know, look,
I mean,
you can see
the numbers, Dave. I mean, I'm looking at Natural Stat Trick right now. Yeah. So I'm looking at the possession numbers. I mean, Ehlers, Dubois, Connor. Ehlers, 55%. Great. Dubois, 51.8%. Perfectly fine. Kyle Connor, 58.3%. Outstanding. That line, best line of the night for the Winnipeg Jets. No question. Every other forward for the Winnipeg Jets tonight was sub 50% and sub 50% by a country mile. Paul Stastny, 36.6%. I mean, that's not very good. I don't think I need to tell anyone that. Mark Scheifele, 31%. Blake Wheeler. Wait, good thing you're sitting down over there, my friend. Blake Wheeler, 25%. Possession number, Corsi 4 percentage in tonight's game. That's not
good.
Bad.
It's good thing those numbers aren't accurate.
Wrong. You're not accurate to the mind of Jets head coach Paul Maurice. To everybody else that watched the game, again, that was a game where the eye test and the analytics would match up. You know, the Connor Dubois Ehlers line, they were good, but Jets head coach Paul Maurice and the Shifley Wheeler Stasny line just wasn't good. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes you don't need to, you know, provide a ton of insight into it. It just wasn't good. And, you know, from the Jets perspective, you know, it's got to be a problem when the opposing coach, Dave Tippett in this instance, is saying, no, I want my best players, I want Connor McDavid to match up against your supposed number one center because he's the least threatening of your centermen behind Dubois and behind Lowry and even, you know, hard to believe, behind Nate Thompson in terms of defensive zone responsibility. The Jets, I have to assume, are going to do something to shake up the lines ahead of Monday night's contest in Vancouver. Not that it's the panic button, but the results, the play just hasn't been that good. Especially, you know, it was a week ago Saturday, a week ago tonight, where they went to Toronto and they dominated. And since that effort, they've had some points and they've had some success and they've had some wins, but it's not that they've been playing very well. And right now I've seen enough of Shifley, Wheeler, Stasny that I think there needs to be some sort of change made to it. And this would be where I would want to put Stasny up the middle right now. Maybe you move Kopp up into a top six role, put him on the wing with somebody, but I would like to see Paul Stasny up the middle now for the Winnipeg Jets.
Isn't it amazing what a week or two will do in the NHL, especially in this North Division? I mean, if you'll remember a few weeks ago, the Oilers were in a tailspin because they lost three in a row to Toronto. Toronto was planning the parade. Then Toronto goes in a spin and they've been in a losing streak. They haven't been playing particularly well. And now Winnipeg loses two in a row and you've got Calgary and Montreal hard charging and Vancouver. So, you know, it's interesting how just, you know, a few days a week can completely turn things over and turn them on their head. Yeah, I mean, again, Drew, I'm not going to argue with you because I've said, you know, throughout the course of this morning's program that I thought it was something that the Jets should do is get a little, you know, a little more dynamic in their lines and don't rely on the same old, same old.
They're predictable.
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, I think they're stale. I think it's, mm-hmm. I think it's just a function of, and again, like I said, and the one thing for me is, it's just, I just don't see that drive. I didn't see the urgency. And I'm not saying these guys don't care. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I just didn't see that desperation in their game. It was a little too casual for me watching that contest tonight and thinking to myself, that was a team that was, you know, it was just, there was no fire. And again, like I said, you know, I'm not saying Maurice needs to break sticks and throw a tantrum in order to get his team motivated. We know he's not going to do that, but you know, the interesting thing to me is the lack of desire to change things up and try and get something motivated because again, you can say that the public numbers aren't
accurate.
You know, sure. they're not an accurate reflection to their own internal numbers, but the reality is he's privy to their own. No, but regardless, he's privy to their own internal numbers. And even if you suggest that modeling is out by whatever percentage you want to suggest they're out by, it's not so significant that it's going to make that game good. And it's so significant that you can't look at that game and think to yourself in between the second and third period while you're, you know, feeling good about your team, still relatively speaking, but you know that, you know, they haven't been firing. Well, maybe we need to be able to adjust on the fly, think of some things, have some contingency plans. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and like I said, that's that idea of in-game adjustments we just don't seem to be seeing.
You know, you're 100% accurate. I mean, at no point in time when the Jets were down 3-2, did they show the urgency, the desperation to come back into the game. And at no point in time did I think the Jets were going to tie tonight's game. And that, to me, is a significant problem because how do you not have that push? Why don't you have that push? And I maybe understand not having that push on Thursday night because it was the second half of the back-to-back. And even then, they had more of a push in that Shifley, you know, missed on the one-timer there late in the game on Thursday where he probably connects on that one. It's probably a function of fatigue. But today, no push is a problem that I think results will demand that there be some sort of change to how the Jets are approaching their line combinations.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, you're going in and you've got a Vancouver team that, even though they lost to Montreal in a shootout tonight, they're feeling pretty good. I think they got 7 out of 8 points on their road trip. Mm-hmm. So you got a Vancouver team that's feeling pretty good about themselves. And they're, you know, it's not going to be an easy game. Demko's playing, you know, we talked to Patrick Johnson today. Demko's playing out of his mind right now. So to me, it's not a function of being desperate. I mean, you know, again, two games, it's the first time all season. They were 8-0-1 previously after a loss. So this is a Jets team that's shown the ability to rebound. So it's not as if I don't want to be Chicken Little and say that the world is coming to an end. No, but or the sky is falling. But the truth is, you know, again, it becomes a function of looking at your lineup and saying, can we get more by diffusing it? You know, taking Scheifele, Wheeler, Stasny, however you want to do it, and dispersing that throughout the course of that lineup and creating a true fourth line. Like, it's interesting. Like, it's funny how, like, they say that is Lowry the best? Is Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton the best third line? They were talking about that on the broadcast. I don't know if they are. I mean, again, like I said, it's very hard because
they're not.
No, I don't think they are, but I'm just saying, like, I can't with authority say that because I haven't been paying attention to the rest of the NHL really this season, with the exception of what's going on in the North Division. But what I would say is you could make the argument, which I have, is that they would be probably the best fourth line in the NHL if you did what we had talked about, which is make Paul Stastny your third line center. And, you know, again, if it means moving Mason Appleton up to that first line, or Matthew Perreault, or someone, the truth is these guys can do that. And I just think you would give yourself that center depth, which you need. I just think you don't have it the way you do. And to be honest with you, I'm not maligning the fourth line. I'm not looking at their numbers right now because I'm looking at you. But
they weren't. Their number, their possession numbers were lousy tonight.
No, but I'm just saying, like, but how many minutes did they play? That's what I meant. I know their possession numbers were like
seven, at 5-on-5, 7:54 for Trevor Lewis, 7:04 for Nate Thompson, and 8:04 for Matthew Perreault.
Right, and so I'm just saying, like, they're not playing a tremendous amount of hockey, of course, and I just think, like I said, it's a function of finding the right combos and mixing things up a little bit and giving, you know, some life to those lines and changing it. And maybe you don't change for the sake of changing, but now you've lost two in a row. You know, Paul Maurice was originally saying, well, I'm not going to make changes just to get fresh legs in there. Well, maybe you wanted to make some changes to get some guys. Look, Jansen Harkins showed some chemistry with Blake Wheeler last year. Jansen Harkins could be a guy who could play. I mean, he can play up on the wing. He's a talented cerebral type player who works his ass off. So again, you can say he is what he is, but nobody knows, right? Like, nobody knows because, like, I'm not gonna kill him for not having any points playing 7 minutes in the fourth line role.
Well, I mean, you need a guy who stood out to me tonight for the Edmonton Oilers was Josh Archibald. You know, every time I looked up during that game, Josh Archibald's name was being mentioned. He, you know, had some dangerous chances. I don't think he got on the scoreboard at all because that's not really what you expect from Josh Archibald, but he was noticeable. Yep. And, you know, he brought an energy level that the Jets were lacking, in any of their players tonight for the most part. I mean, Trevor Lewis and Nate Thompson and, you know, Matthew Perreault to a lesser extent can only do so much. They have their ceilings are pretty low. You know, mm-hmm. we know what they are. You know, the Kopp, Lowry, Appleton line, a line that, you know, used to be, you know, one-sided in the Jets' favor, wasn't mm-hmm. today. Again, and for another game in a row where this is the third or fourth game in a row where that line has been possession poor. Yeah. So, you know, things aren't clicking so well by any stretch that they can't make changes. They need to make some changes. I think tonight maybe crystallized that where it'd been a little bit glossed over previously because every time you win one, lose one, you don't necessarily want to make any changes. I mean, I don't know how you can come back with the same exact lines on Monday night. What message is that saying? I mean, you know, Wheeler and Scheifele were pretty awful tonight. Yeah. And I think that's an issue.
No, I think you're right. And again, like I said, I think it's a function of sometimes it doesn't hurt to break these guys up a little bit and give them, like, I mean, again, you're just past the midpoint of the season. It's not as if you're in the stretch run to get your playoff team ready for the playoffs and you don't want to break up the line chemistry. I mean, to me, the line chemistry hasn't been good for the last little bit. So why not do something? And again, you can say the Jets have a lot of points, and they do. I'm not going to deny it. You know, they're in third place in the North Division right now. But the fact is that you can't take for granted the fact that, you know, it's tightening up. And you know, if you lose a third game in a row in Vancouver on this road trip, you're going to be in tight. So, you know, will we see, are we more likely, I guess the question to you, Drew, is what do you think is going to happen? Are we more likely to see, let me ask the question before you answer.
Okay.
Are we more likely to see a Paul Maurice insertion of Villanola or Jansen Harkins, or are we more likely to see a complete line blending with the exception of the second line, or are we likely to see both?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to answer that question after we hear from Jets head coach Paul Maurice. He's at the podium. We'll play a commercial break after that, then I'll come back and I'll answer what I think we're going to see on Monday night. For now, though, here is Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice. As soon as I pull it up here.
That answers for our audience, too. We want our audience to answer that question as well. So answer in the comments.
Fact of the season, what's the message to your group after losing consecutive games for the first time this year?
There, no message. We move on to the next city. Consecutive games, losses isn't a sign of necessarily anything terrible brewing. We just completed 9 playoff games. Teams that are in the playoffs, 7 of them on the road. I think we ended up about 500 in that mix, so we're not bragging, but we're not dejected.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Paul, I know the message is always to not get too high and not to get too low. I can't imagine how hard it would be to have not got, you know, somewhat excited if your team was coming out of that Toronto series of first versus first showdown. Do you think there's any sense with you there? I mean, we saw Toronto go up against Edmonton and get that bump and kind of stumble since. Anything to the team maybe having exhaled somewhat after that series?
I don't think so. I haven't felt that in the game. I haven't felt that in our play. I mean, we wouldn't have made as much about the Toronto series as possibly people covering that series. We just moved on to the next one.
Go next to Carter Brooks from Game On. Go ahead, Carter.
Hi, Coach. It's now a number of games with Connor, Ehlers, Dubois, Trio. What have you seen this group, not only but defensively?
Yeah, time. I think really just time together. Right? They, Pierre-Luc's, you know, each game more comfort, you know, is and physically kind of back into it, right? His stride, his the power that he's getting up the ice. They're just learning each other. Pierre-Luc's a big, powerful in his own end. I mean, he separates a lot of guys from pucks. He's positionally very strong. So, I think they're just going to get better and better. I got lots of faith in the direction they're going.
We'll go next to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Paul, Andrew Kopp talked about the importance of closing out teams and, you know, restoring that 2-goal cushion. I mean, is there a lesson to be from tonight's game?
I mean, it would be a lesson. Like we've got 2 or 3 really good chances in the second period to make it 3-1. I don't think there's a lesson there. There wasn't, hey, I'm going to try less hard if I didn't know that a 3-1 lead was really good. We weren't casual in that part of the game. I mean, we had some real good chances to make it 3-1. Couldn't, made a great save, 2 real good saves on some good plays to the net. And, you know, you're within one and they've got lots of firepower there and they showed it.
Go back to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet.
Well, when you switched the matchup, it seemed like you had some good results. But when they go to McDavid and Draisaitl, what kind of challenges that provide?
Yeah, I mean, it should open up the door in other places, and it didn't, right? So we couldn't hold that line. They scored 2 and couldn't get to quite the other edges.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza. They support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. They make this show, the Saturday morning show, the post-game show. They make it all a possibility, so why don't you support those fine businesses in return? That was Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Certainly, didn't press any sort of panic button, not that I necessarily expected him to. I don't know. I'm not sure how I felt about some of those comments there. Sort of seemed resigned that the Jets didn't have an answer for Dreisaitl and McDavid. I'm not sure that's necessarily a great sign at all. It's like, he sort of seemed like, yeah, they're two great players, two superstars. You know, they got their goals. You know, what were we going to do? I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if that's just my interpretation of his comments or just maybe I'm looking at it through a bit of a different lens. Not 100% sure, but I just found it that left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. Dave, you asked me before the break, what would I do for Monday night? Well, I mean, Scheifele and Wheeler are going to be together because the Lord came down from Mount Sinai, and that was what was on the 10th. That was the 11th commandment, is that Scheifele and Wheeler have to play together. You know, I'd keep the second line together, no questions about that, with Dubois, Connor, and Ehlers, and that's obviously the Jets' top line. They've been the best Jets line, for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I would move Stastny off that first line. I'd put him back up at center. So I'm going up the middle now with Scheifele, Dubois, Stastny, Lowry.
Yep.
And if you want to keep Lowry and Kopp together, that's fine. I'd move Appleton up, reward him, because he's had a pretty good season. He's not had a pretty good season. He's had a great season for him. So move him on up, next to Scheifele and Wheeler. You know, if Kopp and Lowry, and you want to play them with, if you want to play Kopp and Lowry with Perreault, that's fine. If you want to play Kopp and Lowry with Harkins, if Harkins comes in the lineup, that's fine. I would take Nate Thompson out. I mean, Nate Thompson is your fifth penalty killer. That means Jansen Harkins can fill that role. Somebody else on that team can fill that role. You know, you play 25 seconds a night on the penalty kill. You're not irreplaceable. Because you're great, because you're better, the best on your team at a little more than 50% in defensive zone faceoffs, well, that shouldn't be the only reason why you get to stay in the lineup. You should have to do a little bit more. I'd bring Harkins in. We've been talking about this nonstop. It's beginning to be a little bit of a, a broken record a little bit, but mm-hmm. that's what I go. I go Stasny, and you play with Stasny with Harkins, or you play Stasny with Perreault, or you play Stasny with whomever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's time to now see them use that centerman depth. And I don't know really if Paul Maurice was waiting for later in the season. I don't know if he was waiting, if he ever wanted to do it. But now is the time. I want to see it. We haven't seen it since Dubois came over from Columbus. That was the, I think for a lot of people, the most appealing part of that trade is to be able to go up the middle. And you have, I mean, frankly, the worst defensive centerman you have in that instance is your quote-unquote top-line center, Scheifele. And, if that means that, Dave Tippett, when he gets last change, gets to take his guys up against your number one center, you shouldn't be so one-sided in that battle that it's a detriment to your team. We know that Scheifele has his issues in the defensive zone, but the way I look at it, you're giving a little bit more balance to your offense going that way. You're becoming more of a matchup problem. And like you said before, if all of a sudden Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry are on your fourth line, well, that should be a fourth line that plays 45 to 50 seconds of every shift in the opponent's zone. Because if they're not, then something's really gone wrong and something's is really more sour than we already think.
Yeah. And I mean, you didn't.
Sorry, that was a soliloquy there.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's what people are talking about what they would want in the comment section is who they would like to see come in and what sort of line combinations. And that's what we're talking about tonight, right? I mean, that's what you do after you see a team kind of, go on the streak that the Jets have gone on of late. And Paul Maurice said that they went 500 against, playoff teams in the last 9 games.
Yeah.
Again, obviously he wasn't celebrating that fact. I think he was just stating it, but the reality is, you're a team that is put yourself into a position to be, within striking distance, right? You've now dropped these 2 games. Edmonton now is tied with Toronto, who won this evening. Yeah. 2-0. They beat Calgary 2-0. So you've now got 4 points back of Edmonton to Toronto. Now you have games in hand on Edmonton. You've got 3 games in hand on Edmonton. I believe, is it 1 or are they even with Toronto?
They have a game in hand.
Toronto. So yeah. You've still got games in hand, but I mean, it's the point Ezzy made this morning. You have to win those games.
If he's not here, he doesn't get mentioned.
Okay, fine. I'll give you credit. It's a point you made this morning, Drew, is even if you have games in hand, if you don't win them, then they're really not that. They're great. They look great, but they don't mean much. So to me, really it's about adjustments. And again, you just don't want to see that effort. And that's what I think what upsets people, because this team has talent and you just need to see that urgency. And it just wasn't there in that third period when they were down 3-2. And it just, to your point, it didn't feel to me. And then I made the point earlier in the post game that this team was going to come back and tie it. And generally you get a sense of that, and it's not, we're not always right. I mean, it's not like, it's like, oh, you knew they were going to come and tie it.
But you knew Montreal was going to tie it up on Wednesday night.
Yeah. But you get a sense, right? You get a sense that of these things, watching the games, it's obviously it's easier when you're inside the building and you're watching from the press box, you kind of get a sense of the flow of the game. But again, it just didn't feel like that tonight. And so, again, I agree with the folks who are saying you don't hit the panic button, because it is just 2 games in a row. And again, your team has been remarkably sound at avoiding big losing streaks this season. Mm-hmm. But you have to have, it's not about the losing. It's about the way you lose, right? If you lose a game and you play your best and you lose, well then, sometimes a goalie steals a game. Sometimes the other team just needs it more than you do. There's always going to be, there could be factors. There could be other reasons why you lose. And if you lose, but you lose it in a manner that's, plausible, then it's one thing. But when you lose it with that kind of effort, mm-hmm. it's a different story. And I think that's the part that really grinds people's gears, is that you have a talented Jets team that's losing games in that fashion. And I think that's what's bothering people.
I think that's very well said. I mean, you look at the schedule and you talk about the Vancouver Canucks, and sure, the Jets have 4 games in hand on Vancouver, but look, if things don't go well on Monday and Wednesday against the Canucks, the Jets are going to be behind the Vancouver Canucks in the standings. Games in hand, that's the caveat, of course, but Vancouver's only 3 points behind the Jets. We talked about it on this morning's show, that if the Jets take care of business against the Canucks, and you would hope that the Jets would now have a level of urgency, given that they've lost two games in a row and they haven't looked necessarily great in a lot of the last few games, that you sort of regain that level of urgency, because you can either be, you can either have be right in the thick of the fight with the Vancouver Canucks after Wednesday, or you can be, you know, really 7 points ahead of them with multiple games in hand. Right. So, you know, you do flush this game, but I don't think you flush this game like you did last Thursday night's game. Thursday night's game, you flush. The game against Montreal, where it was 7-1, you flush. Those games are anomalies. This game and this result and this third period effort should stick in the Jets' craw a little bit. This should be a sour taste in their mouths for the next 24, 48 hours, because there's not a lot that they did after the first period where they were up 2-0. There was not a lot that they did that you would describe as good or hanging your hat on. And sure, there were opportunities, you know, the Wheeler shot that hit the post, and then DeMello, I mean, you can see he's not a goal scorer when he just shuffled the puck right back into Mike Smith's pads, as opposed to hitting the you know, the rest of the net. But, you know, few and far between for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And that's what makes Monday and Wednesday so important. Never mind the three-game series in Calgary, Friday, Saturday, and the following Monday. This is a very important next five games for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, Paul Maurice said, well, we just finished 9 in a row against playoff teams. Well, guess what? Now you got 5 in a row against non-playoff teams. And based on your philosophy, Mr. Maurice, you should be able to take advantage of the teams that are below you in the standings. Final thought to you, Dave, before we wrap up.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, as beautiful a city as Vancouver is, if you're not a pissed off Jets team right now, then there's a problem. I mean, again, you're not out of it. You're in the mid, just past the midpoint of the season. But, you know, we talked about it on this morning show. This is a team that it was very interesting to see the effort that they were going to come out with. And I thought actually the first period was good. You know, I mean, obviously
it was perfectly fine until the goal.
Right. And so, but what I'm getting at is you had a good start, and I just thought to myself, okay, well, you know, this is a good start. You know, things should be fine for this Jets team. And then, you know, again, like I said, Connor McDavid is able to make things happen on his own. And what happens, right? They end up tying the, you know, narrowing the gap, and then eventually just rolling. And to me, it's all about Vancouver now. That Monday game against Vancouver is, again, I'm not going to say it's must win. I'm not going to put some sort of massive circle on it. I just think that it's a couple things you're looking for. Does the coaching staff make adjustments? And does this team's effort represent the way it should? And if it does, if you lose and the effort is there, then that's something you can live with. If they lose in a manner consistent with what we saw in this third period, that's when I think folks are going to start to get really up in arms.
And I would say that the Jets and the fans in Winnipeg, this is their opportunity now to panic. I think I was talking to somebody this afternoon at the park when I was out with my kids, and I said to them, you know, we're the only fan base. The Winnipeg Jets fan base is the only fan base that hasn't really had an opportunity to panic yet this year. They haven't lost multiple games in a row. Well, now we've lost multiple games in a row. So friends who are still joining us in the chat room, and so great to see so many of you late at night here, at least late for me. I don't know about the rest of you nocturnal people.
Not for me, by the way.
I know you burn the midnight oil. I certainly do not, but it is their, it's their opportunity now. Jets fans, it's now your opportunity to panic and see what the Winnipeg Jets come up with for a response on Monday night.
It's funny, Drew. Hold on, I'm just charging my battery here. I forgot to charge it in. So we're making a move here at this point to get some power, some juice. There we go.
There you go. Tuck yourself in.
A little more lit now. I'm getting lit here, but no, the only thing I was going to say is what's funny to me is the fact that we talked to Patrick Johnston about it, about the Vancouver Twitter and how, you know, how folks are in BC and how, you know, you can get a little cuckoo with them. And I suspect, and I haven't really been on Twitter because obviously we've been doing this post game show, but I suspect that there's going to be a few folks up in arms right now.
There's no doubt about that. In fact, I just refreshed my Twitter and I see that our friends Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb and Sean Reynolds, are starting their version of the post game show.
Now, hold on. Before we go, though.
Yes.
We got about 100 and almost 200 people in this chat. We don't have enough likes. We don't have enough subscriptions. Make sure you ring that bell because that gives you the notification
Ring the bell
because then people know. You'll get notifications that the show is upcoming. So make sure you do that, and we appreciate it.
Exactly right, folks. Get onto our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, hit the reminder button. And of course, if you prefer the podcast edition of the show, or if you prefer both, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That way you'll get it on your device automatically each and every time we go live, be it the post-game show or Saturday's Illegal Curve hockey show. Thanks so much for everyone for joining us. We strongly encourage you, if you want more Jets talk, go check out our friends Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb and Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet. They're doing some more Jets talk. For Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.